love, courage, truth. Glenn Beck.
Well, the Matt Lauer fallout continues. In a statement just released a couple of hours ago, Matt Lauer said, and I quote, "There are no words to express my sorrow and regret for the pain I have caused by words and actions. To the people that I have hurt, I'm truly sorry. As I'm writing this, I realize the depth of the damage and disappointment that I've left behind at home and at NBC. Some of what is being said about me is untrue or mischaracterized, but there is enough truth in these stories to make me feel embarrassed and ashamed." The details now are beginning to emerge on Lauer's behavior. Variety published a story yesterday, disclosed years of sexual harassment and inappropriate behavior. There were dozens of people that came forward to corroborate Lauer's actions. It's kind of like the way Hollywood knew about Harvey Weinstein and was complicit in the Reign of Terror. Can we not now say the same thing about the brass at NBC? Andy Lack, the chairman of NBC, stated Monday night that this was the first time he had ever heard about Lauer's behavior. But for a host of a show that makes $750 million, are we seriously expected to believe that? According to Variety, Matt Lauer had multiple consensual relationships with women that he held power over. He sent a sex toy to a female colleague, exposed himself to employees, and reprimanded a subordinate for not engaging in a sexual act with him in his office. Like Weinstein in Hollywood, this wasn't a secret in NBC. It sounds like nearly all of the 30 Rockefeller Plaza employees had heard this was going on. There is an obvious epidemic of perverts in our society. Or is there? Is it just the people that we watch on TV? Is this what all of our society is like? I'm not sure, but it's time we hold accountable those who have engaged in this type of behavior. Evil triumphs when good people do nothing. If you're an executive, you're a manager, and you know something is going on, you need to do something. If you knew and turned a blind eye, I believe you carry the same guilt right alongside people like Matt Lauer.
It's Thursday, November 30th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
For those of you who are placing bets on how long my voice will last, I would bet on about an hour. So I could try to get everything out I can possibly say today. Welcome and excuse me for the sound of my voice, but I just wanted to come in today because there's so much to talk about. And let's first get through some of the sensational news on, you know, Matt Lauer, and then John Conyers. His accusers actually spoke out on the Today Show today, and it's pretty much the same thing that Matt Lauer is accused of. Although Matt Lauer is accused of having a door lock, a button on his desk that locks doors. So if he wanted to have a door locked and he was in a meeting with you, he could just push a button and that way he could trap his victims. Is that the way you heard it? Is that the way you...
It's the way everyone had heard it.
Yeah.
Basically, Matt Lauer had a button in his room that he would get women in there and then he'd press the button to lock them in. And a lot of people... I mean, I would say reading social media as this news was coming out, because I believe it was in the Variety report that came out yesterday, was the first place that talked about it, and that people were calling it the rape button, and people were doctoring pictures of Montgomery Burns, who in Simpsons episodes apparently has like a button that does a similar thing. I mean, this was like the coup de grace on Matt Lauer, showing he was a pervert weirdo that wanted to lock in all of his interns, and it was absolute consensus on the internet. How often do you see internet consensus on something?
Never.
Almost never.
Never.
And then there was this one voice, in the wilderness, standing out there, say, giving an alternative opinion.
And you realize, oh, crap, he works for us.
it's actually true. It's true. Jason Buttrell, who is a writer for us and a researcher, as well as a former big-time security guy.
Yeah, he was one of my protectors from Gavin DeBecker and Associates. And Gavin DeBecker is... I would rather have Gavin DeBecker than the Secret Service protecting me. They are one of the largest, if not the largest, protector of celebrities and people that don't have access to state security in the world. And he was with me for how long? 2 years? 3 years?
3 years.
3 years. And with me round the clock. You did this with other people. Now, when I saw this button with Matt Lauer... My first thought was, wow, he's got a rape button.
Right, it kind of feels that way.
And then I realized, wait a minute, I have automatic locking doors on my office because security told me. And Jason will take it a step further.
So I was reading this, and I got to tell you, I was in a Twitter groove yesterday. There's North Korea ICBMs flying off and stuff. You know, I'm tweeting, getting like 10, 20 retweets. And then I saw this report, and I was like, hey, yeah, actually, guys, this is a very standard fare for CEOs, executives, and, you know, any public figure, especially on Matt Lauer's level, to have an advice like this. So I tweeted that bad boy out, and crickets. Like, nobody wanted to hear it. No one.
Wait, and so explain why. Why would Matt Lauer have a button that locks his doors from the inside?
Especially marked rape button.
Actually marked rape. So this is standard fare for many executive CEOs, companies. Actually, the chief of security, the security will actually mandate that these are in a lot of these offices. And the reason being is if there's an active shooter situation, or many of these guys, and I bet Lauer is one of them, had a very long pursuer list, which is basically just a fancy way of saying there's a lot of people that wanted to either hurt him or they were weirdos, so they marked them down on the list. So anytime someone on that list would show up, they would say, hey, there's this guy here, activate, you know, your protocols. He would hit the button. They know he's secure. Then they can find the individual. I've protected many Fortune 500 CEOs, public figures, tons of them. And many of them had this device as well. It's nothing nefarious. It's purely for security purposes.
Now, he may have used it in some nefarious way. We don't know. But like the indication was just because he had this button proved these things against him.
Yeah, because you thought, who does that?
Right.
Who
would install that?
Yeah.
But then when you put a little bit of thought into it, like, what is the accusation? Because the door would unlock from the inside. So if you had a button that locked the door... The woman would be able to either escape or scream, right? If she was being assaulted. If the accusation is, well, they were just having consensual sex, you don't need a button to lock the door. You can just lock the door.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there's no reason why a button that just simply locked the door from your desk would do anything to advance your rape ability.
Unless it locked the door from the inside. And you couldn't escape.
Right, but still, yeah.
Then you're Dr. Evil.
Even in that situation, though, you're talking about a public office where someone could scream, right? Like, I mean, this is not a good strategy if your idea is to rape a bunch of people in your office. It's ridiculous. And the fact that other people actually have it, and it's fairly common, it's interesting because I think this is important to get out there because a lot of people, a lot of the speculation on Twitter by others was, oh, I wonder how many other people have these. Like, it was like an indication. If you have one of those, you're guilty of these types of things. There's after talking to Jason, there's probably dozens and dozens and dozens and hundreds of people who have this type of thing for their security.
Yeah, there's multiple, and it's good security. It's a good security policy. But that's something that's kind of ridiculous about. Some of these allegations are very, very bad, and they are very, very nefarious. But some of these allegations are just ridiculous. And people will pile on, and they'll just throw stuff out there that's like, you know, like, oh, we did this. Well, then that leads to that. And it just gets more and more insane.
So what can a person do? I mean, Jason, you and I talked this morning. I said, I'm even starting to get paranoid. I was sending stuff out this morning about these allegations and what Matt Lauer was doing. And, you know, the people I'm sending to are women. They're the ones who are assembling all of the stuff. The women on our staff were doing it this morning. And I thought for a second, gee, should I put something I'm just sending this for the, you know, hey, this includes offensive material. I mean, even, and I am really careful. I mean, Jason, you were with me for how long? 3 years. And you're with me all the time. I mean, he's a close, you know, I have my people are close body people. And so they're with me usually in the room all the time.
Lucky them.
Yeah, I know. I know. They want to hang themselves. so they're with me all the time. And even with that, I don't know if you have somebody who's with you all the time, if somebody made an accusation and I could say, hey, yes, I was at that hotel. I was there at that time. But here's my security detail. I've got three guys that were with me on that security detail. One was with me the whole time. I don't know if people would even believe that.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, again, there's nothing you can do.
Nothing.
And a lot of these people shouldn't have anything they can do because they're awful people and they probably did these things. But that's why you have some sort of due process. Like, we don't just assume everyone's guilty from the moment of accusation.
We've gotten to a point to where it's a lot. Some people actually have security threats, and like public figures, you know, politicians, people like that. And they need security for those reasons. Now we've gotten to a point to where literally if you're a male person in the media or Hollywood, you need 24/7 security just for liability for sexual assault allegations. Like someone with you all the time.
Who's going to believe that person? Who's going to believe that person? What do we, I mean, I was going to say, what are you going to hire, a priest? No, you can't trust that. I mean, what are you going to hire? Who are you going to hire? Who's going to believe somebody? You know, it's okay. Well, there's two against one. Well, yeah, but you've been paying him. He's just covering for you.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's crazy.
It's cameras everywhere, right? Or, you know, there was a story that came out, I think, a week or two ago that talked about the rise in large corporations of sexual harassment insurance, in which they just are like, look, we're going to get a certain amount of claims. We don't know if they're true or not, but we just have insurance that's just going to pay them off so we don't have to deal with it.
But you can't do that now. I mean, yeah, you pay.
Well, still
if you
exist.
Pay, I know that, but if you pay now, if you settle, and, you know, we were just in a settlement. I had to settle. It was lawsuit and attorneys.
Not about sexual
harassment. About freedom of speech. Had to settle. The insurance companies were like, settle it. Well, okay. Well, I didn't want to settle it. Now, what happens? If you're in a sexual harassment lawsuit and your company says, settle it, make it go away. Well, then what? Then what?
Right, and that's happened
now you're
thousands of times to people who absolutely would maintain their innocence to this moment. But they're like, all right, well, just make it go away.
Just make it go away.
And that was okay at the time because these
it's
non-disclosure agreements and, you know, it was understood, as sad as it is, that these things do happen. And women at times would choose to, instead of going through the process of this public spectacle, they would choose to take a settlement. And that would mean a good ending to a bad thing, right? That was the way, that was the best possible ending we can have to this terrible thing that occurred, right? That was the way women and a lot of these attorneys, attorneys who deal with these cases were looking at these things. Now, those things don't apply anymore because we're going after everybody publicly, and the people who had those agreements are now breaking them after they've had the money. They collect the money and then they break them down the road, which means if you're an executive in the future, why on earth would you ever go into one of these things? You should never do that. And what that's going to lead to is lawyers figuring out how to attack real victims who actually do deserve to be settlements.
This is not a good thing for victims.
At the very least, there are good things that will come out of this, I think.
Yes.
But there are bad consequences that are associated as well.
I thought the Matt Lauer thing was really good yesterday. I thought, for the first time, I thought, okay, they're actually serious about this. I thought that was, because that's a guy who's, I mean, who makes more money than the Today Show for NBC?
No, nobody.
Nobody.
Right?
And he's the main star. They're paying him $20 million for a reason. $26 million a year for a reason. That's a $750 million business. And you know, the ratings are, they fight for every tenth of a point. I mean, that's a really dog-eat-dog world. To take Matt Lauer out of there could cost them hundreds of millions of dollars. It could really destroy that franchise. To me, that said, NBC is serious. Now, I think they had to do this because, you know, they were quiet on Harvey Weinstein. They, you know, Pharaoh, they said, go publish that someplace else. To me, that shows The reason why they said go publish that someplace else is they didn't want to be the ones exposing it because they knew they had liability in their own building. You know, what am I going to do? I'm sitting here with Matt Lauer. You're gonna expose this and we're going to be all high and mighty on it and we're sitting here with Matt Lauer? I don't think so. Go take that to somebody else. That just crossed my mind because it only took, what, 12 hours to fire Matt Lauer? I mean, you don't make something that affects $750 million of business in a 12-hour period. You don't. That's something that you better be sure of. They were sure of it. To me, that tells you they knew. So it is it's a good thing that this is actually being taken seriously. However, it's not being taken seriously in one place, and that is Capitol Hill.
Glenn Beck.
Kitty is one of our producers, and she's a booker on our program, and she actually worked for NBC for a while. And we were just talking off the air and asked her if she had ever heard this about Matt Lauer or she had ever had an experience with Matt Lauer like this. And you said everybody yesterday, all your friends at NBC were in shock.
That's correct. Yeah.
Can we turn? Yeah, you got to turn your microphone on. There it is. Go ahead.
That's correct. Yeah, I was a NBC page and I did an assignment at Weekend today. Mm. You know, I would drop off scripts for Matt Lauer in his office, and even Lester Holt would use that office when I was a page. I reached out to my friends yesterday and everyone was just in shock. I mean, Matt Lauer is really loved by the staff and it must have been a really difficult day for everyone.
So I had heard that no one thought he was harassing anyone, but that
they knew he was.
There's a reputation of him kind of hooking up with a bunch of women. Is that?
Did you ever heard that he was kind of an unfaithful dog?
I mean, I was at the bottom of the totem pole, but we didn't get that impression. I mean, he was really well liked, and I also worked for Meredith Vieira, who is really close with him. So I really saw Matt Lauer through her lens, and you know, they were just like practical jokes and. You know, he just seemed like a fun-loving guy.
Hmm. It's really weird. Have you ever experienced, I mean, we're as guys, we're trying just to, this seems like a plague in America. Is it just this group of people or is this, have you had this experience elsewhere?
I mean, I've never had it at the office, but I've definitely experienced it in college. You know, at parties, things like that, but never in the workspace.
Do your friends say that they have this kind of experience all the time? Do you hear from friends that it's this bad?
Yes.
Really?
And, you know, most of my friends, when I lived in New York, worked in finance, and there's not many people that work on Wall Street that are female, and the stories that they would come back home with were just shocking. Like, I don't know how they went into work every day.
Wow. Kitty, thank you very much.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. You know, I think we should have that conversation. I know Carly Fiorina is going to be on with us tomorrow. She wrote a great editorial in Medium, and she's going to be on with us tomorrow. But I would really like to talk to the female side of our audience because I'm clueless to this. Is this really what it's like, or is it just this collection of dirtbags?
Glenn Beck. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So glad that you have tuned in today. You know, I'm concerned that that there is a disconnect between reality, television, and politics. Okay, I shouldn't say television, maybe media. That would include internet. There's reality. And I think that's where most of us live, in reality. And then the stuff that happens in Washington is completely disconnected from reality. The step in between is the internet, where some of it is just insane, and others you're like, okay, at least there's a little bit of sanity here someplace. But they're disconnected from reality. And what we're seeing in the media now is this response to purge themselves of all of these serial sexual harassers, which I think is a good thing. If it's real, you know, our system has always been, We don't want to put one innocent man behind bars. We'd rather let a guilty man go than put an innocent man behind bars. That's the opposite of what we're doing now. We're just, it's just, I saw, oh shoot, what's the space show on Fox now? The Oracle?
Orville,
that's yeah. Right. I saw the Orville. First season, like episode 6, we were watching it the other night, and it was, they went to a planet where everything was thumbs up or thumbs down, and it was just the popular vote on who was guilty and who wasn't. And I thought, boy, this is today. This is what we're doing now. Except there is one place that is even further from reality, and that is Washington. Here's all of these people. How many did you have up on the chalkboard yesterday?
There was 37 and since Weinstein.
Okay, 37 since Weinstein. I've got a few more to add to that because I saw and you were missing some. And I'm like, no, you forgot this guy. So there's more than 37 since Weinstein. However, those guys are all swept out. Because why? They're afraid the company is going to look bad and get bad publicity, et cetera, et cetera. And so they get rid of them. You'll notice that's not happening in politics. You have Roy Moore and you have Al Franken. You have John Conyers. You have Donald Trump. And you know there's a lot more in Washington than just those guys. A lot more. And yet we're not hearing about them. And when you do hear about them, they don't go away. This morning with John Conyers, they had his accuser on the Today Show. She was saying the same stuff about John Conyers that got Matt Lauer fired.
Probably worse, right? I mean, it was
a lot of unwanted stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going to make John Conyers? What do you have to do in Washington to be fired? What do you have to do? Have you heard the interview with Al Franken yet?
Yeah, this is a pretty amazing interview, actually. He was on with a station in Minnesota, and the journalist pushed him pretty hard on a lot of these things and would not let him off. Because, Franken kept trying to do the same thing he's been doing, which is these kind of like
generalities. Yeah.
And yeah, so these sort of focus grouped, answers. Let's start with Al Franken on disrespect.
If you had told me 2 weeks ago that a woman was going to come forward and say I disrespected her, I would have said no.
Well, I don't think any of them are using that word. I think that's your word. I think
or done anything like this.
Leanne Tweeden said he forcibly kissed her.
I understand what she said, and
I think they're not using the word disrespect. I think some people are looking at that word and saying, no. Lindsay Mentz said he molested her on Facebook right afterwards. I think these women feel this goes way beyond disrespect.
I understand that. I have a different recollection than Leanne.
This is the same thing every time. Here is Al, because it's amazing. This is the same. He has the same group of phrases
But if he was innocent, what? He's trying to not dismiss them by saying, mm-hmm. I have a different recollection of that. That way he's not mm-hmm. peeing all over them, mm-hmm. Because if he said, that's not true.
They're so liars.
You're calling her a liar. So he's trying to be, careful, which is the only thing you can do. But by doing that, you just sound, that's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous,
it's
right?
Ridiculous.
So he's trying to, manage the wording as well as possible to not draw out new accusers. By the way, there's a fifth one today that said that he was he was groping her during a photo shoot on the USO tour in 2003. So
who does that? Who just gets their jollies out of that? I just don't.
Yeah, no, I don't
get it.
I don't understand. But Al Franken does, apparently. Al Franken on credibility.
Can you really continue to claim kind of a moral high ground on some of these issues, including the Trump-Russia investigation, when a lot of people feel you've been less than transparent about these particular allegations?
Well, I think I'm a good questioner. I think that the questions that I'm asking don't go to my credibility. They go to the credibility of the witness. they go to the credibility.
But hasn't your credibility been undermined?
I would say yes, and I have a long way back. I have a long way back to win back the trust of the people of Minnesota.
Not that long. I mean, yeah. We didn't really trust you that much before, but it was interesting.
I'm really regretting doing this interview with WCCO right now.
Yeah.
I thought WCCO was in my camp.
Right.
I don't know why I'm sitting here with you.
They pushed pretty hard.
Yeah, she's
did
doing
a great
job.
It's interesting because he kept bringing this back. She was bringing up, like, you were questioning Sessions. You were questioning Tom Price and saying, hey, how could you possibly expect anyone to believe that you didn't know you were buying stocks that had connections to the bills you were trying to pass? How could anyone believe that? And she said, how could anyone believe you that you didn't know you grabbed a woman's butt? How could anyone know that you didn't know that you, like, that was her kind of line of questioning. I thought this was interesting, though, because you talk about, he kept bringing up this issue of intent. And here he is, as you kind of point out, he's in a tough spot. Right, he's fighting
nowhere
for his life here. He's
guilty
got nowhere
or
to
innocent,
go.
You got nowhere to
he's
go.
He's got nowhere to go, and so he is trying to do the progressive thing. Right, he's trying to give so much ground, so he looks so progressive and so in line with women. He understands women so well that you can't possibly be mad at him for squeezing and pinching a couple butts. Right? How can you? Come on, the guy really likes the women. Look at the bills he passes.
Right.
Right. So he is, and this is the same sort of thing that Louis C.K. did, and several others have done, adopting this new standard of intent. Listen to how he describes.
This is really dangerous.
Yeah, listen to how he describes how intent should be thought about in these situations.
I meet thousands, as you know, people in Minnesota, and I take thousands of pictures. Sure. And I'm a warm person and I hug people. And in some of these encounters, in the pictures or meetings.
Encounters, wrong word to use.
Some women.
Some women.
And any, you know, is too many, have felt that I have crossed a line. And I am terribly sorry about it. They feel that in these interactions, I've done something to disrespect them, and that's not my intention. But what I know is that the intention doesn't matter. What matters is we listen to women's experience.
Stop for a second. Your intention doesn't matter?
What I know is that my intention doesn't matter.
This is the standard that progressives have built for themselves. The intention doesn't matter.
It's, in many ways, all that matters. Now, if a woman has an experience that she doesn't like, and the intention is, you know, you could argue from her perspective, look, you know, I mean, I didn't like it, right? Like the George H.W. Bush, this was brought up, right? His intention was to try to loosen up this situation. He's in a wheelchair. And yes, absolutely.
If that were the intention.
Right, if that were the intention. But again, like, you could argue, yeah, she should still be offended. But it would be a big point on how we would judge Bush, right? It's a big point on how we would judge Franken, right? So the idea that intention doesn't matter, well, it matters all. It's the most important thing when judging someone in the middle of these situations. If you run over a person because you don't like them on the side of the road, and that intention is important. If your intention is to drive down the road and swerve out of the way of a cat that ran into the road and you hit someone, it's a terrible, terrible mistake. It's a terrible thing you don't want to happen. But your intention tells the story there, right? The intention is always, if you shoot someone in the middle of the street, oh my gosh, you can't shoot someone in the middle of the street. Well, if your intention was to protect the woman who he was raping, well, you know what? All of a sudden, intention's a big part of that story.
Did you not stick a knife into his chest, which resulted in his death? Yes, I'm a heart surgeon. Yes, I did stick a knife in his chest.
Glenn Beck.
So Garrison Keillor has also been fired from Minnesota Public Radio for sexual harassment. And listen to what Garrison Keillor said on sexual assault in 1994. This is important.
We should be careful, though, not to make the world so fine and good that you and I can't enjoy living in it. A world in which there is no sexual harassment at all is a world in which there will not be any flirtation.
Hang on. Do you believe that? I mean,
depends
that's
on how you flirt, I guess.
I guess it depends on how you flirt. I mean, if you're flirting with somebody and it's unwanted, you know, if you're notified this is not wanted, then that's sexual harassment. But flirting is only fun when you're flirting back and forth. You know what I mean? So I don't understand what he's saying, but listen to what he says right after that.
A world without thieves at all will not have entrepreneurs.
Will not have entrepreneurs?
What?
As if entrepreneurs are thieves? This just shows how out of touch. First of all, a world without sexual harassment means a world without flirting. No, not really. But I can see if we say me asking you out on a date or me... Yeah. You know, saying you look nice or I like your dress or whatever.
25% of millennials say anyone who isn't their partner and asks them out for a drink, they've been sexually harassed.
Right.
So there is.
So that's true then on that point. But without thieves, there wouldn't be entrepreneurs.
Yeah. I mean, that's just an anti-capitalist argument.
Yeah. Without thieves, there wouldn't be government.
Yeah, right. And that is an anti-government argument.
It is.
Probably.
It wouldn't be the IRS.
Exactly. It's funny because, you know, the only thing that I think connects there is to say, if you were an executive, like if you were single right now, right? Glenn Beck's single. I mean, you run the company, obviously, so you're really high level here. But, I mean, if you were just a mid-level executive or a manager, would you even consider dating somebody who worked at the company?
No, and this is
you'd
a
be
problem.
Terrified
most
to do
of
it.
Us meet our spouses at work
I
or
did.
Through work.
Yeah.
I did too.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, both times. And so I know more about marriage because I've been married twice.
You have double the knowledge.
Double the knowledge.
But yeah, I mean, that is a very common thing, right? I mean, that, you know, especially
if you're in a position of power at all, you can't. You can't date.
It does feel like that's probably the answer. And so in a way, Keillor is obviously being hammered because he was just fired for sexual harassment. The day he was fired for sexual harassment in the morning, he had written a Washington Post defense of Al Franken that he shouldn't step down. And it came out the morning, by the end of the day, he was fired. And now they're going back and they're finding all these clips. And there's a somewhat unfair process we do there, where we go back and look at all the old clips. But there is something to it. People may fear wanting to do that.
Glenn.